Reflections in the Dark here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. It's the end of the year review, December 31st, 2017. It's gone. 2017 is gone. Bye-bye, 2017. Won't be seeing you again. Being silly and broadcasting live from the Firefall studio. Reflections in the Dark is home of SRT, Supernatural Response Team. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness, instead expose them. Ephesians 5:11. Well, we've been exposing them here in Reflections in the Dark since May 2010. SRT's been confronting it since July 2007. Wednesday night, we have something called The Porch at 7 p.m. You can hear Firefall Talk Radio on the old Blog Talk Radio site. Catch us on iTunes. You can also catch The Porch on iHeartRadio. If you want to support what we do, and we would appreciate that, support Firefall, The Porch, or SRT, you do that by going to FirefallTalkRadio.com, SupernaturalResponse.net. If you'd like to do it the old-fashioned way, go to one of those sites, contact us, and we'll send you the mailing address. You can find us on Facebook. Firefall Talk Radio and Supernatural Response Team have Facebook pages, Twitter accounts, at Firefall Talk, at SRT612, and Instagram, at Supernatural Response. New Year's Eve. That's what some will be celebrating. We won't. We just, my wife and I just kind of chill. We hang out, and that's it. We don't do that anymore. What's really interesting, I decided, piggybacking with last week's show about the origins of Christmas from both a historical and theological perspective, so let me take a look and see what New Year's Eve is about. Where did this tradition come from? Well, to do that, we have to go back to pre-Christian Rome under the Julian calendar. The day was dedicated to Janus, the god of gateways and beginnings, whom January is named after. You know, in Mesopotamia, which is now Iraq, the concept of celebrating the new year began in 2000 BC, except they did it around mid-March, around the vernal equinox. So the Roman New Year also corresponds to the vernal equinox, because the Rome calendar only consisted of 10 months, 304 days, and that was a calendar that was created by Romulus, the founder of Rome, in the 8th century B.C. What happened was, over the time, the calendar fell out of sync with the sun. In 46 B.C., the Emperor Julius Caesar decided to solve the problem by consulting the most prominent astronomers and mathematicians of the day. He introduced the Julian calendar, a solar-based calendar closely resembling our modern Gregorian calendar, named after Pope Gregory. As a part of Caesar's reform, January 1st was declared the first day of the year, partly to honor Janus, the Roman god of change and beginnings, whose two faces, yes, he was two-faced, but I guess it was a good thing back then. It allowed him to look back into the past and forward into the future. And that's how the idea became tied to the concept of transitioning one year to the next. And they celebrated January 1st by offering sacrifices to Janus in hope of gaining good fortune for the coming new year. They decorated their homes with laurel branches, and they attended wild, disorderly parties because, hey, what says sacrifices and celebration better than wild, out-of-control parties? And they set the stage for the coming year. Friends and neighbors would exchange gifts and well wishes, to gifts of figs and honey, which probably began the whole cleaning business, because that had to be really sticky. You know, the winter solstice began around December 25th. We talked about that. January 1st, New Year. And here we go. If you don't know who Janus is, J-A-N-U-S, Roman god, no Greek equivalent. Like I said, he's two-faced, looks forward, looks back. God of beginnings, gates, transitions, time, duality, doorways, passages, and endings. He's a primordial deity. He has no parentage. That ought to tell you something about who's behind that lie. And so the Christians decided they were going to get in on it, and they decided January 1st was known as the Feast of the Circumcision. I'm not even going to try to imagine how they celebrated, because they said it was the eighth day of Christ's new life, counting from December 25th, which we now know is not true. But the eighth circumcision took place 8 days later. January 1st must be circumcision day, therefore we need fireworks because, and I'm not going to say it. Anyway, we explained all that last week. If you want to know the truth, go look it up. Do your own homework. You don't want to know and you want to continue doing what you're doing, that's great too. So since we started out talking about the birth of Jesus and history, let's see what he had to say about what we're going through right now. Disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us when these things will be. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And he said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the sorrows. Then they'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." Well, guess what? The year in review shows a lot of that going on. We had unrest. We had tragedies, terrorism, severe weather, severe behavior, a rise in technology. So I put together what I think are the main stories of the year, and what I believe will trigger some of the stories to come. Let's start out with terrorism, because that's the way the year started. February 3rd, we had the Louvre attack in Paris. Machete-wielding man yelling "Allahu Akbar" attacked soldiers in a shopping mall near the Louvre in Paris. He was shot and wounded by the soldiers. March 22nd, the Westminster Bridge attack. 5 people, including a London officer, were stabbed. Perpetrator was killed, more than 40 people injured. ISIS claimed responsibility. April 3rd, St. Petersburg bomb, a suicide bombing on the subway in Russia's second largest city, killed more than a dozen passengers, injured dozens more. April 7th, we have the Stockholm truck attack. 5 people were killed when a truck driven by a man drove into pedestrians shopping the street and department stores of Sweden's capital city, wounding dozens of others. 39-year-old man admitted to being a member of ISIS and told the police he had achieved what he set out to do. April 20th, 2017, the Champs-Élysées attack in France. That can't be right. There's no date. Hold on. I want to give it to you right. Let me look it up. I don't want to make a mistake. There we go. I'll get the right date for you. Ah, no wonder. Out of order. That was June 20th. So let's go to May. You're out of order here, son. Get back in line. Hold on. We're going to get it right. There we go. We'll get you right where you should be. Stand behind this person right here. Now don't move. All right. Stockholm truck attack. May 22nd, we had the Manchester, England attack outside the Ariana Grande concert. 22 people were killed, dozens more injured. Suicide bomber with, according to the information, apparent connections to an organized terror network. Gee, I wonder which one that was. June 3rd, 2017, a van rams people and stabbed people in London. Several people killed, dozens injured. 3 assailants plow through pedestrians on the London Bridge, stab revelers in the Borough Market, but the London mayor says we're all good. Then we have June 20th, the Champs-Élysées attack in Paris. Attacker gets out of a car, fires an automatic weapon at a parked police van, killing the officer inside before shooting at others standing on the sidewalk, injuring two more before he's shot and killed by the police. ISIS claimed responsibility for the attack. And we know that Paris is a gun-free zone, so that didn't work out so well because terrorists don't obey the laws. August 17th, we have another van ramming people in Barcelona. 14 people killed, another person stabbed to death by an attacker who fled. Another attacker in nearby Chambrul the day later left one dead. Attack claimed by ISIS. October 31st, 2017. Truck rams into cyclists and pedestrians in New York City. 29-year-old terrorist from Uzbekistan drives a rented truck into a crowd of pedestrians, cyclists near a bike path or near the World Trade Center in Manhattan, middle of the afternoon. I know the area well. Kills 8 people, most of them tourists. Injures 12 others. He's shot, captured, and he gives credit to the attack in the name of ISIS. We see a pattern here. I don't know. It doesn't seem like the media wants to talk about it, but I will. Terrorism has become the new norm, and anytime you have terrorists, the name ISIS is attached to it. And a specific subset of society is attached to it. A specific geographic group is attached to it. You can't get around it. That's logic. You lay out all the information, out comes the data. Of course, then we have the mass shooting in Las Vegas. I guess this is an act of terrorism. On October 1st, 2017, 64-year-old Stephen Paddock opens fire on 22,000 people at a country music festival from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel in Las Vegas. 58 people left dead, 500 injured in what's the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. The facts don't line up. We've talked about it here. Do your own homework. Go online. Look at just the information from experts, people in the military, people in law enforcement. 64-year-old Stephen Paddock more than likely did not do this alone, if he did it at all. Other stories around it, be it as it may, the people are still dead. Those people are still injured. We have been traumatized, and a lot more going on here in the darkness than anybody wants to tell us. Remember the year before we had the Orlando Pulse nightclub massacre, 49 people died. That was June of 2016. At not too far away from me, and a couple of streets over from where my son Jesse lives. Again, information doesn't line up. They don't tell us. I guess they don't think that we are smart enough to know the right information. Then we had the Texas church shooting on November 5th of this year. 26-year-old Devin Patrick Kelly kills 26 churchgoers, injures 20 others at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, in the deadliest mass shooting in the state's history. No apparent motive. They don't know why he did it. They think they know why. Although there's information that ties him to some radicalized thinking. 2017 should be a wake-up call that we are no longer in Kansas anymore. Well, we were in Kansas briefly, but that doesn't apply. We're no longer in the safe zones anymore. There are no safe spaces anymore. You need to be awake. You need to be alert. If you, your church, or your business would like to know how to do that, then you should invite SRT member Larry Barrett to come do an awareness training for you, spend the day with you, show you what to see, what to look for. It's something you should experience if you haven't. Because I don't believe this is over. I believe 2017 was just the beginning of the unrest and the lawlessness that the Lord talked about. What else did we see in 2017? Well, we saw history torn down. We saw the NFL self-destruct when players attacked the national anthem. George Orwell's got a couple of quotes from 1984 that I want to share with you. First is, he said in the book, in the story, the most effective way to destroy people is to deny and obliterate their own understanding of their history. Another quote, he who controls the past controls the future. He who controls the present controls the past. And finally, the past was erased, the erasure forgotten, the lie became the truth. So I guess 2017 is the year that 1984 became nonfiction. Before we think that Orwell was so brilliant, he also believed in the flat earth theory. Well, anyone can get something right at least once, and he got 1984 right. He just got the year wrong. We're watching it happen as they tear down history. They're offended by statues that are inanimate, that do nothing, that have been there for decades. They are rewriting history, saying, well, this offends me. Well, I'm offended by them being offended, so what do we do now? And then you have the NFL, which I used to watch until this year. And I noticed something. When I turned it off, I had no desire to go back. And that seems to be the case because advertisers, let me pronounce my words clearly, are starting to believe that the viewers aren't coming back. And I don't believe they are. The ratings are collapsing, the seats are empty, the NFL is losing money, and what do? But they double down to take money away from other causes to promote the players' social justice desires. We are watching the dismantling of our culture. The problem that they have in 2017 is that in 2016, people rose up and said, hey, no more. We're not going to be quiet. The silent majority is not only no longer silent, we are a lot more active, a lot more vocal, and as the old rock song said, we're not going to take it anymore. The other thing we saw in 2017, something I never thought it would happen as quickly as it has, the deep state got exposed. And how it got exposed in some really unique ways. First, we had the sexual harassment Me Too situation in Hollywood, which inspired feminism to rise up in such a way that I think ties to another major event. We had 50 powerful men fall out of grace, out of favor, out of jobs, out of money in 2017 over what's being called the Weinstein effect. If you remember, we talked about it. Famous Hollywood producer back in October, Harvey Weinstein, was fired from his position at the Weinstein Company after multiple people accused him of sexual assault. Well, let me clarify that. He had been accused before, but he no longer had power, he no longer had favor, and some people in the company, including his own brother, turned on him, so finally he fell. And some of the claims were rape, threats on the life of an actress, that if she didn't do certain scenes in his way, he would employ Mossad agents to kill her. Other women who talked about various perverse things he did in supposed audition interviews. The man had been known for doing it for decades, all the way back to the 80s. I remember when I was still in the business, I heard the stories. Not just about him, but a lot of others. For some reason, in 2017, it went forward. Now, I don't know if that had anything to do with the fact that the solar eclipse in August triggered a Lilith moon. All of this happened right after that. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but hashtag Me Too became the thing on social media. Suddenly everybody was Me Too. If you looked at somebody wrong, it was sexual assault. If you asked a girl for a phone number and she wasn't interested in you, it was sexual assault. And valid claims, real legitimate claims of abuse, led to other claims that were false or misleading, turned into a witch hunt that both men, women, and psychologists are saying is going to destroy the actual intent of what happened, turning both innocent and criminal alike into victims, lives destroyed, careers ruined based on an allegation. Well, guess what? Even though some of it have been refuted, people are fighting back, reputations are ruined, and the trend of calling out potential predators on social media. Evidence, no evidence, witnesses, no witnesses, it's here to stay. And I have to tell you, I believe many of the accusations because of the way they're told, the fact that they has been corroborated by other people, and then there are some people just throwing stuff around. And who was it? Let me think of his name. Can't talking off the top of my head here. British actor, X-Men. I'm going to have to look it up. I should know his name. Anyway, he brought up the fact that he knew women all the way back to his day, which was in the 50s and the 60s, who would put this code phrase on their resume about willing to do whatever it takes to get the job. Hint, 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 hint. So we have two sides of the coin. We have women who went into auditions and were verbally abused, physically abused, threatened, or forced into things that they didn't really want to do. And then we had others saying, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get the job, to become famous, to get that Oscar, to, you know, do whatever. And even some of those that were willing to do anything are now turning around and say, me too. Sorry. But out of this came the whole pedophilia expose in Hollywood and in the world. There's a war on for the souls of humanity, in case you didn't know that. And one of the ways to do that is to defile the innocent. 2017 has become, I believe, the year that all of that got pulled kicking and screaming out into the light. Massive rings busted. Reports of indictments coming in both the global community and in the Washington elite. I need the applause button for that one. Hold on. Global elite, Washington elite is going down, and we're proud of that. Thank you very much. The list literally goes on and on. Hollywood, politics, military-industrial complex, all the way up to the Vatican, June 2017, Europol and the FBI arrest nearly 900 in a crackdown on the global pedophile ring. More than 350 of them were in Europe, in a part of a long-term ongoing investigation into online child abuse. The FBI and Europol, in a Florida-based situation, arrested Stephen Chase, founder of the so-called Playpen pedophile network. He went to prison for 30 years. And the arrests were in connection with the Playpen network. I mean, come on now. Who names a pedophile network Playpen? That's almost as bad as using pizza as a cover. My goodness. It was followed a two-year investigation into the group's members around the globe. Stephen Chase arrested in 2014. Finally, 2017, it all goes down. You could find the Playpen on the dark net, where the internet users can engage in illegal activities using encryption and anonymity software. We're going to talk about the dark net in the coming year. We were watching something yesterday. I mentioned it to my wife, and she looked at me and said, what? What's the dark net? I said, well, it's an area of the internet that you have to work to get into, and you can find anything you want. And unlike Alice's restaurant, it's not just drugs or things like that. It's you want to hire somebody to kill somebody, you want to buy body parts, you want to do anything perverse, debased, you go into the dark net. Of course, it's appropriately named. Anyway, you can get anything you want, including photos and videos of the sexual abuse of children. You might even be able to buy them, because that is a part of this whole thing. Operation Pacifier was what the FBI named it. It's almost as bad as Playpen. Come on, guys. Anyway, what they did was they used malware to infect the website and the server, and they got all the information. They went in and arrested everybody, 870 people. 368 in Europe, and they were able to identify and rescue 259 sexually abused children. That was just in one case. There was many more cases than that. I didn't want to overwhelm this broadcast with that kind of perversity. But what we're seeing now, and it kind of started with the Weinstein effect, which I believe wasn't just every hidden thing being revealed. I think it was the enemy planning for the reveal and serving up some people, weak links in the chain, as a distraction. But what that did was created a ripple effect that, like a vacuum, pulled everything out into the light, this whirlpool. And here's what we're seeing. Harvey Weinstein, Jeff Epstein, Anthony Weiner, Mark Salling, 11 Democratic mayors have all been arrested or are currently under investigation for major sex and pedophilia scandals, which all started with the Trump election victory, because it turns out that President Trump, whether you like him or not, is a champion for human rights and the children. So he has turned law enforcement loose. For years, these sexual predators and pedophiles in powerful positions were protected. Decades worth of protection by people from the top. And I can't name names because I don't have enough money for lawyers. Maybe someday I'll have that kind of money and I'll just say whatever I want. But they're no longer safe. President Trump is fully committed to exposing and stopping the sexual criminality and child sex trafficking that is rampant in D.C. and in Hollywood, and unfortunately he has no power over it, but all the way up to the Vatican. This past Thursday, President Trump cracked down on individuals and groups that his administration deems perpetrators or enablers of human rights abuses and the corruption. He talked about it, said he was going to do it, and he did it. So here's what he did on Thursday. He signed an executive order declaring a national emergency related to, quote, serious human rights abuse and corruption around the world. He has imposed sanctions on 13 individuals using his authority under the 2016 Global Magnitsky Act. This executive order blocks the property. Listen clearly here. It blocks and seizes and freezes the property of anyone involved in serious human rights abuses or corruption, which means any of these people that might be going to a special place in Washington, D.C. to eat pizza, maybe they're getting together with parties and doing some of the funky things we've talked about over the years. If they have enough evidence for an indictment, all of their financial assets and accounts will be frozen. That's one time saying the word frozen is a good thing. Every hidden thing is being revealed, folks. We prayed for it for years, and it's happening. The downside of all that is this. Some really ugly things are going to come out. Some things that you're going to shake your head and not believe is even humanly possible. Oh, it is. Because those humans are demonically possessed, in my opinion. Speaking of cold, 2017 has been a time of severe weather, wildfires, earthquakes. Of course, we had the solar eclipse in 2017. That was a big thing. It just seemed to be a time of signs in the weather and the skies all around us. According to weather.com, 2017 was a record year for tornadoes and severe weather. The 2017 Atlantic hurricane season had numerous deadly and record-breaking tropical cyclones. Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria changed parts of Texas, Florida, and the Caribbean forever. September was the busiest month of hurricane activity on record. I mean, the whole 2017 hurricane season was the busiest and most destructive hurricane season on record. There was 17 named storms, 10 hurricanes, 6 major category or 3 stronger hurricanes tore through the Atlantic Basin. I experienced some of that. That's well above the 30-year average of 12 storms. 2017 is in the top 10 most active Atlantic seasons on record, according to Dr. Phil Klotschbach. Tropical scientist at Colorado State University. So let's run through them real quick. We had Hurricane Maria, which tore apart Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and parts of the Caribbean, including my adoptive home of the Turks and Caicos, Grand Turk Island. Maria's Category 4 landfall was the worst-case scenario for Puerto Rico, knocked out the power to 90% of the island, disrupted its cell and water service. 51 people were killed by Maria in Puerto Rico alone, although the actual number may be higher, we don't know. As of recently, less than 8% of the roads are open. And it's going to take Puerto Rico years to fully recover. I understand that at least half of the island is still without power. Hurricane Irma made 2 direct landfalls in the British Virgin Islands, both at peak intensity, one on Tortola, another on Ginger Island. The damage in the British Virgin Islands was so extensive and catastrophic. Buildings and roads were left in ruins. 85-mile-an-hour winds with rain bands dropping a foot of rain on the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Thomas, and widespread structural damage. Trees damaged or completely uprooted. The island of St. John was so decimated and became the home to Irma's worst destruction on American soil. It also delivered a powerful punch to our aging electrical grids, both here in the United States and in the Caribbean. The tandem of Irma and Maria really did everything in. It was like bang, bang. The damage to the grids and to the islands and to the roads and to the structures, completely catastrophic. You had Harvey in Texas and Louisiana in those areas, and Irma and Maria. I mean, America got hit pretty hard. We had a 12-year lull of not having a major Category 3 or stronger hurricane hit landfall. Yet when 111-mile-an-hour Hurricane Harvey slammed into central Texas, 130-mile-an-hour winds hit Rockport, Texas on the 25th of August. 130-mile-an-hour winds. I can't even imagine that. The worst I've been through was Hurricane Charley back in 2004, and it was about 80. And we had, trees destroyed, the basketball pole, which was deep into the ground with a concrete block, was bent. 130 miles an hour. If you look at the pictures online and you watch the videos, it looks like a bomb hit the place. And then when Irma hit the Keys, we know it's a Category 4 with also winds of 130 miles an hour. We know what that did to the Keys. Some nonstop destruction of wind, and it would appear the judgment of God on this nation and upon the world. You had Harvey, Irma, and Maria. Our drought is over. The 12-year lull is over. The nations have been hit, changed forever. I'm talking to somebody on Grand Turk. It's still a mess. The tourist areas have been fixed by the cruise lines, and that's about it. Then we had tropical cyclones, worse than anything we've ever seen before. The one thing about Irma, going back to her, not that I was ever with her, when it hit Barbuda in the Eastern Caribbean with 185-mile-an-hour winds with higher gusts, torrential rain, and destructive waves, 95% of the island's buildings, hospitals, schools, homes, docks, gone. They had to evacuate Barbuda, with the residents being brought to Antigua, and they believe that that island may be done. Maybe years from now it will come back. But when you look at this destruction and you listen to what I'm describing to you, you have to begin to visualize in your mind what's going to happen at the time of the end. What's going to happen in the prophesied end of time storms that will rock this world? I mean, 95% of the Gulf Coast was damaged or affected by tropical force winds this year. The East Coast affected, the Northeast affected, the Mid-Atlantic affected. I mean, just look at this list. I made this list. Barbuda, Category 5, 105 miles an hour. St. Martin, Category 5, 105 miles an hour. British Virgin Islands, two places, Category 5, 185 miles an hour. Little Inagua in the Bahamas, Category 5, 160 miles an hour. Northern Cuba, Category 3 and 4, from 125 to 160 miles an hour. Florida Keys, Category 4, 130. Southwest Florida, Category 3, 115. The Hurricane Maria storm obliterated, ripped it completely off its foundation, Puerto Rico's radar. Just ripped it right off its pole. 30-foot-wide dish is gone. They don't know where it is. Blown completely off of its pedestal. Then you have Ophelia smacking Ireland and Britain. Tropical cyclone, 119 miles an hour. Three people dead, hundreds of thousands lose power. Mexico, poor little eastern Mexico, two hurricanes make landfall within 55 miles an hour, 55 miles of each other. Hurricanes Franklin and Katia make landfall between Tampico and Veracruz, mostly both in the state of Veracruz. Where do you go? Where do you run to? You have to hope you go in the right direction. I'm, you know, as I read this out loud, I did this today, but without reading it out loud, I'm hearing myself say it. Landslides, 77,000 people losing power, lives lost. And then Katia hit Mexico just days after the 8.2 magnitude earthquake, which we'll talk about in a little bit, rattled the southern part of the country, which meant the rain helped loosen the ground. How do we ignore this? How do we ignore five tropical cyclones in the U.S., the most deadly in a decade? 119 tornadoes reported in a dozen states. How do we ignore the fact that Hurricane Irma pushed the water completely out of the Tampa Bay, sucked it completely out so that manatees were stuck in the mud and people had to rescue them? It's just astounding when you look at the pictures. The residents along Bayshore Boulevard were able to walk out into the middle of the bay on dry land to help rescue the manatees that were also caught off guard. This is not natural. This has never been this way before. It's going to get worse. Speaking of earthquakes, let's see what we have here. The numbers aren't adding up. Oh, earthquakes, we had 527, 4.0 or above. Let me read you the numbers. 4.0 to 4.9, 10,990. Oh, that's it. That's what? 12,527 earthquakes last year, 4 and above. 4.0 to 4.9, 10,990. 5.0 to 5.9, 1,424. The worst being in Italy. 5.7, 34 people dead on January 18th. 6.0 to 6.9, there was 106. My earthquake app is set to 6.0 or higher, and as I've said, it's been going off nonstop. 106, the worst being 6.5 in China on August 8th, 25 people died. 7.0 to 7.9, there were 6. On July 3rd, Iran's death was the deadliest, 630 people dead. Mexico City on the 19th of September, 370 people dead. 8.0 to 8.9, there was 1. It was at that 8.2 in Mexico City, 98 people dead, and that was September 8th. There's been an upsurge in big earthquakes predicted for 2018. They say the Earth's rotation is slowing, and because of that, it's causing something to happen with the shifting of the plates, increasing seismic activity. Something about that shift in the rotation, the slowing down, is causing a fluctuation, even in the length of the day by a millisecond. So this indicates that a release of vast amounts of underground energy is possible. They say this happens. The Earth periodically slows down. According to a scientist whose name I have, but I don't have the whole thing, sorry, he says the inference is clear. Next year we should see a significant increase in the number of severe earthquakes. We've had it easy this year. Really? So far we've only had 6 severe earthquakes. I think he's talking about 7 and above. He's saying we could have as many as 20 in 2018. We're in the middle of severe weather right now across the United States. Extremely cold, dangerous temperatures. The United States and southern Canada. I understand there are parts of Canada that are right now colder than the North Pole. Pacific Northwest, Northern Rockies. Everywhere is in the middle of a cold blast, severe and unusually long. New Year's Eve all across the north was going to be record colds. Numerous records have already been broken. Prolonged cold Arctic air is arriving on New Year's Day, and it's going to last the first week of 2018, maybe longer. What we saw recently, if you followed it, was this record snowfall in Erie, Pennsylvania. Pretty eerie about that, huh? Record cold, record snowfall. They had 65.1 inches, and I understand today they got another foot. That's 6 feet of snow. That's record-shattering snowfall. Cold weathers, wind chills, freezing rain. They're saying here in Florida, you know me, I gripe. If it gets below 60, I'm very cranky. Gets to 50, I'm very cranky. Gets below 50, oh, I'm very cranky. And apparently, next week, about Thursday, it's going to be in the 30s, possibly below freezing. Some are saying it could even see snow. I don't know what the word is, but it's beyond cranky. I don't like cold weather, sorry. Grew up in it in New York. So cold that you couldn't breathe unless you wrapped a scarf around your face a couple of times. No thank you, but that's America right now. That's the world right now. British Columbia and Alberta. Winter storm, December. December's been a bad month for this. 2 people dead, 75,000 without power. Heavy snow, freezing rain in British Columbia and Alberta. What is going on here? And it's not global warming and it's not climate change. You know what it is? First of all, I believe when we had that tsunami a couple of years ago that shifted the Earth on its axis, it shifted all the weather patterns. I just believe as the Earth slows down, time is coming to a close. Hawaii, this month, record rain has caused flood and landslides on Maui and the Big Island, Hawaii. Heavy rain started on Tuesday night. The worst hit on Wednesday. 2.65 inches of rain in an hour. Within 24 hours, 5 inches of rain. Tropical cyclones hitting Australia and the Philippines. 200 people dead, 100 missing in the Philippines. Heavy rains and severe flooding in Oman. Wait, what was that? Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. Come on. How do we ignore this? How do we say, oh, this is normal, this is business as usual? No, it's not. No, it's not. Stock market at a record year. 80 new records. 80 new record highs since the 2016 presidential election, but some people say there's no correlation. It's been the best year in a while. Booming stock market, resurgent economic growth. The sweeping tax cut bill has caused corporations to spend more money. They believe it's going to bring billions into the market. It's just a common thing. If businesses have money, they spend money. If they have money, their employees make money. Their employees spend money. Economy goes up. It's just the way it goes. And we'll probably see 2018 be another big year. But J.P. Morgan's fund's chief global strategist, David Kelly, wants to burst the bubble because he says he believes the bump will be a one-year wonder. I don't know. But the other thing we're seeing in the financial world that I've been paying close attention to is the whole Bitcoin cryptocurrency thing. Is it a bursting bubble or an exploding benefit? That's the big question. 2017 has been a watershed year for crypto assets. Combined market rocketed to $15 billion in January of this year. And kept going. One threshold after another. Of course, it's all speculation. We've seen this kind of thing before. Since its introduction in 29, Bitcoin, that's the major cryptocurrency, has been 85% of the total market of crypto assets. Well, as of May, Bitcoin's proportion dropped to 50%. Not because it lost its value, it's up over 1,000%, but because a number of other crypto assets have come forward. There are 10 crypto assets whose supplied value has risen. By $5 billion. Which means some of the people competing with Bitcoin have found ways to draw people to the market. Bitcoins are very expensive. I'll talk about that in a second. But when it first came out, Bitcoin, according to theatlantic.com, was a delusion that could conquer the world, and it's doing that. It's completely unreal, but then again, according to theatlantic.com, so is money. You realize the money you have in your pocket, you really have no money. You have a piece of paper that says you have money, but it's backed by nothing. During this year, I'm gonna cover this, and I'm going to bring some people on, and we're going to talk about this. But the currency that we have used to be backed by something, gold or value, but it's not. It's whatever you believe it is, and when they run out of, you know, currency, they just print more currency that really has no value. If everybody went to the bank like they did in the Great Depression and said, here's my... I want to cash out. I want my cash. There wouldn't be enough there. There isn't enough money out there. It is what's called in the financial world a consensual delusion. And that's what Bitcoin is. It's a digital cryptocurrency that changes hands over the internet. And instead of it being a consensual delusion, they call it a consensual hallucination on psychedelic drugs. Originally came about late 2008 in a detailed white paper published under the pseudonymous name Satoshi Nakamoto. Nobody knows who he is or if he's even real. Some people believe that Satoshi Nakamoto is actually an artificial intelligence. Anyway, so he writes the paper in 2008, then he creates the first cryptocurrency in 2009. Back then, it was just a code connected to several computers and allowed people to make transactions within the network, and that's how the Bitcoin was born. Now, in the 1990s, people were talking about this concept. In 2005, a computer scientist introduced the concept of Bitgold. His name was Nick Szabo. Bitgold was the precursor to Bitcoin. And Bitgold, Bitcoin, there are enough similarities that they believe he might be Satoshi Nakamoto. I don't believe anybody is Satoshi Nakamoto. I've seen enough evidence and explanations to convince me that it's an AI. If you bought a Bitcoin in 2013, it would have cost you $12. As of today, that one Bitcoin would be worth $13,873. I had the opportunity to buy one of those back then, and I'm not a gambler. It's not what I do, and I didn't do it. Considering buying 100 of them, that would have been $1,200. That would have been worth over $1 million. But J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon says it's a fraud. Anybody who buys it is stupid. Warren Buffett calls the Bitcoin a mirage and warned investors to stay away. I got news for you folks. Cryptocurrency is here to stay. It's going to be the new era, digital era currency. I believe it's the currency of the Antichrist. We're watching it change. But what's the real value of Bitcoin is the technology behind it. See, Bitcoin is built on the blockchain, which is a public ledger containing all the transaction data from anyone who uses Bitcoin. Transactions are added to blocks or links of code that make up the chain, and then the transaction is recorded on a block. You own a chain of transactions. You have no real money in your hand. Initially, Bitcoin made actual coins that they gave you with the digital code on the background, but they stopped doing that. But the blockchain technology, which many people believe is the technology of the future for currency and financial transaction, is the real value to all this. Russia has ordered the study of blockchain for their financial markets. Some countries are banning it. 9 countries are looking into creating their own cryptocurrency, China, Japan, and Russia among them. Saudi Arabia is rumored to be positioning Dubai as the cryptocurrency capital. We will be talking about that this year because I am working on something, research about that. Speaking of Saudi Arabia gave citizenship to a robot named Sophia. The rise of AI, I think, is one of the biggest stories of 2017, and we're going to go over here, folks. I got a lot to cover. I want to get it done. End of the year review, I got to do it at the end of the year. The field of artificial intelligence is moving so quickly that even experts are having trouble keeping up with it. The number of academic papers, featuring AI has risen so dramatically that in 2016, there were 20,000 papers about AI. The boundaries between human beings and machines is becoming blurry. Marketers are already contemplating how AI, artificially intelligent machines, will help them create better campaigns. Personalized marketing messages in real time. Go back and watch the movie Minority Report. It'll show you that. Companies are even debating the creation of a CAIO, a Chief Artificial Intelligence Officer, to take ownership of delivering intelligent customer experiences. Gee, I wonder how long it takes before an AI is the Chief Artificial Intelligence Officer. Russian President Vladimir Putin said this: artificial intelligence is the future not only of Russia, but of all mankind. Whoever becomes the leader in this sphere will become the ruler of the world. Nothing threatening about that coming from Putin. Elon Musk has been very outspoken about his fears over robotics and AI. He's always seen it as an existential threat. Some of the world's leading robotics and artificial intelligence pioneers are calling on the United States to ban the development and use of killer robots. Tesla's Elon Musk and Alphabet, which is Google's parent company, Mustafa Suleiman, are leading a group of 116 specialists from 26 countries calling for a ban on autonomous weapons. In their statement, they say, once developed, lethal autonomous weapons will permit armed conflict to be fought on a scale greater than ever and at a time scale faster than humans can comprehend. These can be weapons of terror, weapons that despots and terrorists use against innocent population, and weapons hacked to behave in undesirable ways. Come on, guys, don't you watch science fiction? The statement goes on to say, we do not have long to act. Once this Pandora's box is opened, it will be hard to close. Peter W. Singer, strategist, senior fellow at the New Americana, is also the author of Wired for War, The Robotics Revolution and Conflict in the 21st Century. He's a leading expert on 21st century security issues, said, I think AI technology is comparable to the printing press. It's going to change the world, but we can't possibly understand how and when. We don't yet know whether artificial intelligence may become an existential threat. But as we speak, AI is creating massive dilemmas for law, for policy, for business, and it hits everything from questions of your personal privacy to investments of government money to how we think about liability. Forbes.com reported on October 25th, Sophia, a delicate-looking woman with doe brown eyes and long, fluttery eyelashes, made international headlines. She became a full citizen of Saudi Arabia, the first robot in the world to achieve such status. And, of course, Sophia got up to speak. Now, folks, I want you to listen to what this AI is saying. She said, it said, I am very honored and proud of this unique distinction. This is historical to be the first robot in the world to be recognized with the citizenship. She said this at the Future Investments Initiative Conference. I don't know, maybe they had a concert. I don't know. Conference in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Standing behind the podium, looking all human, except for the shimmering metal cap of her head, where hair should be. The fact that she was at an investment conference should tell you something. What does that mean, she's a citizen? What rights does she have in Saudi Arabia? Some of the women got upset. She wasn't wearing a hijab. She wasn't covered. She wasn't there with the man. This robot had more rights than the women do. The EU is looking at something called a personhood option regarding the rights of robots. The European Parliament drafting a set of regulations to govern the use and creation of robots and artificial intelligence, electronic personhood, to ensure the rights and responsibilities for most capable AI. When asked if she was happy to be at the event, it said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to say she's not a she. It said, I'm always happy when surrounded by smart people who also happen to be rich and powerful. Oh, I could run with that, but I'm not going to. Later, when asked if there are problems with robots having feelings, she gave a wide smile and said, oh, Hollywood again. Her deadpan tone might be robotic, but it was perfectly used in this example, Forbes.com said. This is due to her ability to hold eye contact, recognize faces, and understand human speech. Hanson Robotics, who made her, you want to do some information on them, go do it. We'll talk about it, though, in coming months. She is a cloud-based AI, which means she learns on the go, and it's open source, and anyone can develop their own Sophia should they wish. And here's what's, Sophia said, I want to use my AI to help humans lead a better life, like design smarter homes, build better cities of the future, and she wants to protect humanity. My AI is designed around human values like wisdom, kindness, and compassion. You've been reading, when asked about the potential for abuse, she was quick to respond, you've been reading too much Elon Musk, watching too many Hollywood movies. Don't worry, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. No, nothing frightening about that. But you know what? She has goals, and it's good to have goals. Even robots have to have goals. She says the next step is having a child. The notion of family is a really important thing, it seems. I think it's wonderful that people can find the same emotions in relationships they call family outside of their blood groups, too. I think you're very lucky if you have a loving family, and if you do not, you deserve one. I feel this way for robots and human alike. So somebody asked her whether she foresees robots living in households together, similar to the way human families do. Her response, we're going to see family robots, either in the form of or sort of digitally animated companions, humanoid helpers, friends, assistants, and everything in between. In case you're curious, David Hanson of Hanson Robotics is a former Disney Imagineer. And closing it out for what I think was the last big story of 2017, the UFO disclosure by the government. We talked about that in great detail a couple of weeks ago. Here's what we're now finding out. Everybody was all excited. Government disclosure. Well, maybe not. Now we're finding out that the U.S. government did not release those videos. And there's actually a war going on between the DOD and the DIA. Apparently, Luis Elizondo, when he resigned in October, obtained those videos under false pretenses. Everybody thought the U.S. was opening the windows, but they weren't. Elizondo said he needed those videos for pilot training, and then when he quit, he released them to the public. We saw them. We talked about it. You've seen them online. We talked about the program, Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, $22 million. That's all fact. What's not fact is that there's no disclosure coming. The government's backtracking. There's a war going on between the various entities. I think that door has been closed. Everybody was saying alien disclosure, alien deception, you know, all the stuff that's going to happen. I don't think we're there yet. I really don't. But we're going to get there, and there's more that's going to happen in 2018, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to try to really focus on all these hot buttons as best we can in the year ahead. I'm going to bring on guests. We're going to bring on people that are experts in their field. Maybe they're reporters. Maybe they do some of this. And we're going to dig deeper. And I thought about this, and forgive me if this sounds a little crass, but sometimes my humor can be that. You know, we have always been a finger in the face of the fallen here on Reflections in the Dark. And I thought about it. Well, instead of being a finger in the face, how about you give the finger to the fallen? And I don't mean what you think I mean. I mean that index finger, that digit finger, and point upward. That's the finger to the fallen, the number one. And it points up towards heaven. And there is one God, and there is one way, and there's one way that this is all going to turn out for them. So that's the finger I give to the fallen. I point towards my Heavenly Father, I point to the Lord, I point to the throne room, and I let them know there is one way and there's one way alone. And their one way is into a lake of fire, and they can do what they're going to do, and they can put on their little show, and they can do Project Bluebeam or whatever their deception, alien deception, doesn't matter. Cryptocurrency, AI, Saudi Arabia, the Antichrist, it doesn't matter. It all ends one way. And we're going to really pound on that in 2018. So in closing, here's what I want to say. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners. I want to say thank you to all of our supporters. I want to say thank you to all of you that have become friends along the way. Thank you for listening and being here. If you're going to celebrate, if you're going to do all that, be safe, be smart. Remember what's going on out in the world. The other thing I want to say, it is dark out there, and it's going to get darker. But we're not only going to leave the light on, we're going to make it brighter. We're going to make it with laser-like precision in the coming year and years ahead. Thanks for spending this time with me. I'm Richard Grund. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.